أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به ولخلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك رواه البخاري صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, has given us the tawfiq to see this month of Ramadan. We are already in the second 10 days of Ramadan. It's coming to the last 10 days of Ramadan, as they say now, it's time goes faster and it starts to go downhill. Many of us, last Ramadan, we might know many of us who were here last Ramadan, many of our family members. In this Ramadan, they're not with us. Last Ramadan, mashallah, we were unable to perform Taraweeh in the masajid. We were unable to hear the environment of the masajid. In this Ramadan, when we're seeing the environment, and many of our people are saying that, we only realize now how much we missed last Ramadan. Normally in Ramadan, many of us regard this month as a month to do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is correct. And many of us, we cut down our other work and sometimes it leads to laziness and we do less than what we normally do. However, today being the 17th of Ramadan, and this is the date which the Battle of Badr took place. The date which the Battle of Badr, known the Battle of the Criterion. There is one alim, great alim, he's quite elderly now, in Syria, Sheikh Qutaybi, Damat Barakatum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his life. He's written a small booklet, and in this booklet he's called Ash-Shahrul Futuhat, the month of conquest. And in this booklet he's proven, and he's brought more than 50 battles which took place in the month of Ramadan. More than 50 battles which took place in the month of Ramadan. And he starts this book in such a way which he says that many of us regard the month of Ramadan to be the month of unproductivity and laziness. And many of us will become lazy in this month to such an extent that we say we will do less work and we end up doing less work and less ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll end up eating more, which then results in us becoming more lazy. And from these, amongst these 50 battles, he brings 16 battles which were huge battles. Battles which took place during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were two battles. One was the Battle of Badr and one was the conquest of Makkah, which both took place in Ramadan. And thereafter, until the year 250 after Hijri, more than 15 battles took place, which were huge battles. Battles, for example, the Battle of Qadisiyah, where Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala an defeated the Persian Empire. It was one of the turning points in Islamic history where the Persian Empire was completely shattered at this time. Another battle which is very famous and many of us might know is that of Muhammad bin Qasim. And he conquered India and Pakistan during the month of Ramadan. Another battle which we might know is Tariq bin Ziyad, who was conqueror of Spain. He conquered one of the areas of Egypt which was under Roman rule. There were many battles which took place in this month. And in this book, this Maulana writes many things. One of the things he writes is that the reason why they made this month of Ramadan the battle of conquest and the battle of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they made a fast what a fast supposed to be. They made a fast what a fast supposed to be. In the hadith that I have mentioned, in the Quran ayat which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the purpose of fasting is to attain taqwa. And one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up pathways and increases a person's rizq, makes a person's life better is, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for him pathways. So in order for us to make a fast, what a fast supposed to be, there are few aspects which we're supposed to follow. Many of our mashayikh and many of our elders have mentioned up to 8 aspects And if we bring these aspects into our lives, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, at the end of this month, we will be given the crown of taqwa. And we will be able to, this taqwa will carry us for the remainder of the year till the next Ramadan. Many of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, it is narrated that 6 months before Ramadan, they used to start making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A narration of Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, that they used to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that let us see the month of Ramadan. And 6 months after Ramadan, they used to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, accept our ibadat in the month of Ramadan. Meaning, their whole life used to revolve around this month of Ramadan, waiting for the next month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a mu'min is such, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah, he fears Allah, wabtaghu ilayhi alwasilata. And he looks for every opportunity to do good. And this month of Ramadan is upon us, and we are already 17 days into Ramadan. We're supposed to be looking for every opportunity to do good, to give charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read Quran, to read extra salah, and many other ibadahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to make a fast into a fast, to make a roza into a roza, to make a, to fulfill the rights and the hukuk of fasting, the first point that we should remember is that of protection of the eyes. This has been enumerated in many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that protection of the eyes is one of the shaitan. In one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is narrated that the eyesight is a dagger and an arrow from the arrows of shaitan. If we are able to protect our eyes while we are fasting from looking at haram, from looking at those things which we are not supposed to be looking at, from looking at women, from looking at movies, from looking at many other different things. Today with social media, we have become so accustomed to looking at haram that it is not even regarded as, we don't even regard it as haram any longer. Many of us will attest to that. Sometimes we are going along in our phones and we are looking at so many pictures and we don't even realize that we are doing the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first point that we should remember is we should protect our eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَرُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. The mu'mineen are such that they lower their gaze and they protect their five private parts, and this is more, and this is purifying for them. Meaning it is one of the reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for a person to attain taqwa. The second point that a person should remember during fasting is that of protection of the tongue. The tongue is such a thing which can take a person to Jannah and can take a person to Jahannam. In one famous hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, if you can give me the guarantee of two parts of your body, I will give you the guarantee of Jannah. The first part of the body which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is that which is between the legs. And the second part of the body which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is that which is between the two jaws. One famous story comes to mind of how the tongue can take a person to Jannah. Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi, the famous muhaddith, he mentioned a story regarding Durood Sharif, sending salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was once a person, he says, once he himself, Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi himself, was in the haram of Makkah. And he saw one youngster, a young boy, and this boy walked into the haram, and every step that he was taking towards the Kaaba, he was making Durood Sharif. He was saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. So Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that he went up to this person, this youngster, and he asked this youngster, what is this new innovation that you are doing? Why are you reading Durood Sharif for every step? So this youngster tells Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi that this is not an innovation. I am just reciting durood upon the master of mankind. I am reciting durood upon the person I love the most. And the reason I am reciting this durood, I will narrate you the story why I am reciting this durood. This is to show us how important it is to bring good speech onto our tongues, to protect our tongues and to save ourselves from haram with regards to saying evil things, etc. He mentions that he was from Khorasan. This youngster was from Khorasan. And he left from Khorasan with his father to come for Hajj. It's a couple of 1,000 kilometers, it was a couple of months journey. And on the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his father away. His father passed away. So this youngster mentions that he was himself and his father. He was a young boy. His father passed away on this hard journey, and he never knew what to do. He decided his father passed away. He was lost. He did not know how to. What's the next step? So he says he laid his father down on the ground. He covered his father with a sheet. After a little while, he says he opened the sheet and he saw his father's face had turned black. Now he became extremely perturbed. He is narrating the story to Allama al-Sakhawi rahmatullah. He says, I became extremely perturbed. My father's face became black. My father, I used to look up to him. I used to respect my father. If someone is going to come past now, he is going to see that my father's face has become color. It has become black. What a disgrace for me. So he closes the face again. He reads two rakat salah and he goes to sleep. In the sleep of his, he sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to him, oh youngster, what is perturbing you? Why are you so worried? Why are you so distressed? Why are you so sad? So he mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my father was someone who I respected. My father was someone who I used to look up to. And my father has now passed away, and before I am going to bury him, his face has turned black. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to him, do you know what your father used to do? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him your father used to not read his salah. Your father used to deal in interest, usury, riba. Your father used to speak evil words to others. Again, we're talking about how the protection of the tongue and the bringing of goodness on the tongue is a means of taking one to Jannah. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, he answered us. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, however, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the youngster, do not be worried. The face of your father will be illuminated and your father will be forgiven. Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi, at this juncture, he mentions in his kitab that he asked the youngster, how is this possible? Your father was doing so many bad sins, so many bad guna, so many bad actions. And now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him the glad tidings of Jannah in his dream. So the youngster himself says, I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream at that time, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is this possible? So Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, told us youngster that your father had one action in his life. One action in his life which no one knew about. Although he used to do all these bad actions, but he had this one action. And this action is that before he used to sleep, he used to read Durood upon me 100 times. He used to read Durood upon me 100 times. And no one knew of this action, and he never told anyone of this action. And based on this action, I have interceded for him in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten his face and grant him entry into Jannah. This youngster thereafter wakes up. Says Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi, I woke up from my sleep. And I went back to the body of my father. I removed the chadar, the sheet. And I looked at the face of my father and it was illuminated and white. And Allah subhanahu illuminated and bright. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for me in my heart the peace and contentment that my father has got Jannah. So we go on the second point. The first point was that a person should protect his eyes. And the second, while fasting, and the second point was a person should protect his tongue. And upon his tongue he should bring all dhikr of Allah. The greatest dhikr in the month of Ramadan is that of Quran and Majid. And thereafter we should make La ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, asking for Jannah and saving ourselves from Jahannam. So the second point was that of protection of the tongue and ensuring that we do not speak evil of others. One of the main reasons that in one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned that the Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa first mentioned the hadith that fasting is a protective covering for a man as long as he does not break this covering. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the reason, what causes the protection to be broken? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned backbiting and slandering. This is one aspect which we in Ramadan are very lax and very, we go very easy about it and we forget what a great guna this is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a bad action this is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a time we see after Taraweeh Salah, before Iftar, many of people are in groups and they're talking and they result in talking about others. They talk about, for example, they talk about this imam in that masjid, he read slow yesterday. Automatically it becomes backbiting. Anything, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, what is backbiting? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, to speak about a thing, about a fellow Muslim, which he would not like. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, what if that action and that deed is in him? For example, if a person speaks about someone and says, this person has very bad business dealings, for example. And is that truth? This person deals in a very bad way. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered the Sahaba, that the Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what if we're talking the truth to others? We're saying that this person, he deals in a very bad way. Not in his presence. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that now it becomes a double sin. It becomes backbiting and it becomes slandering. This is one aspect which in the month of Ramadan we are very lax about, and if we save ourselves from this aspect of backbiting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah grant us the ability to protect our tongue and grant us taqwa. So the first aspect was that of protection of the eyes, and the second aspect was that of protection of the tongue. The third aspect, which our mashayikh mentioned, is that of protection of the ears. There are three pathways to the heart. One is the eyes, one is the tongue, and one is the ears. Whatever a person says, whatever a person sees, whatever a person hears will directly affect the heart and will have a result and an effect on the death of a person and what a person will be reckoned about in the hereafter. The protection of the ears is another aspect which we become very lax about in the month of Ramadan. We should ensure that we are at all times either making tilawat of Quran, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saving ourselves from the listening of back. To listen to backbiting is also evil, is also guna, is also sin, etc. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a famous hadith, that music grows hypocrisy in the heart, just like how water grows and harvests a farm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to keep our ears safe from guna, from sin. The fourth aspect which our mashayikh mentioned and many of our pious predecessors mentioned that we should stay away from in Ramadan is that our whole body should remain away from sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, in a famous explanation of his ayah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam, the ayah which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, I have ordained upon you fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said in the Quran and Majid, fasting from stopping from eating, stopping from drinking, stopping from your carnal desires. All this we all know we should not be doing. But this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that fasting should be done with the entire body. Fasting must be an action which is done with the entire body. Every aspect of our body should be, anything which is not connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be removed from our lives during the month of Ramadan. Qatada rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that Ramadan is nothing but the fasting of Allah and the recital of the Quran and Majid. These are two things which should be in our life all the time. However, in the month of Ramadan, these are two things which should come to the fore. They should come ahead. They should be ahead of everything. If we have 5 minutes extra, 10 minutes extra, the Quran should be open. Or zikr should be recited. This should be something which should be a norm for us in the month of Ramadan. The first aspect was that of the eyes, the second aspect was that of the tongue, the third aspect was that of the ears, and the fourth aspect was that of the of the entire body remaining away from sun. We were discussing this aspect based on the fact that today is the 17th of Ramadan, the Battle of Badr took place during this day. And there were more than 50 conquests which took place in the month of Ramadan. Some were major, some were minor. There were 16 major conquests from the Muslims in the month of Ramadan. And we were discussing a book written by a Syrian scholar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long life, where he mentions that the reason why the Muslims were given so much victory in this month is that they made a fast what a fast supposed to be, and they made the month of Ramadan what the month of Ramadan supposed to be. And in this he mentions 8 aspects which a person should protect himself from fasting. The first was the ears, the eyes, the ear, second was the ears, third was the tongue, the fourth was the entire body. The fourth which he mentions is that we should refrain from filling our belly to the full. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions that many a time in Ramadan a person will eat delicacies which he does not eat out of Ramadan. Whereas if we look into the life of our pious predecessors, and even the pious of today, and even nowadays, they cut down their food during the month of Ramadan. The nafs is to bring taqwa into our lives, Allah fearingness. And in order to bring taqwa, we need to be able to cut the nafs, the ego. And in order to cut the ego, one of the main things is to lower our food consumption. Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayhi, it is famous regarding him that he used to eat one thin roti for sehri and one thin roti for iftar. The same goes with Mawlana Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi. He used to eat half a roti and half a cup of tea for sehri, meaning half a slice of bread and half a cup of tea for sehri, and half a slice of bread and half a cup of tea for iftar. This is why they were able to do the amount of ibadah that they done during the month of Ramadan. For example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi used to finish up to 49 khatams of the Quran in Ramadan. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi also mentioned regarding him, sometimes he used to go over 60 khatams in the month of Ramadan. Mawlana Zakaria rahmatullah is mentioned with regards to him, he used to finish 58 khatams during the month of Ramadan. That is one khatam in the morning, one khatam in the evening. And we ask ourselves, where did they have the time to complete all this? They had other responsibilities as well. Life did not come to a standstill. But one of the main things they cut down upon was that of the eating and spending time on the dastarkhan, spending time on the eating table for no valid reason. We should be very careful with regards to our consumption and what we eat in the month of Ramadan. In another hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that certain people will not attain nothing from fasting except that of hunger. And under the explanation of this hadith, the muhaddithin mentioned that one of the reasons a person will attain no spirituality and no benefit from fasting is that of he breaks his fast with that food which is not halal, which is not halalan tayyiba. Therefore, he attains nothing from fasting the entire day except that of hunger. The same hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that a person will attain no reward for standing during the night except that of the pain of standing during the night of in Taraweeh. Under this hadith again the muhadithin mentioned, and this is an important fact, important point where we go back to that of the tongue. They mentioned that the person who stands the entire night, but when he gets home, he slanders and backbites others. Therefore, he has attained nothing from his Taraweeh Salah except that of the pain and the time of him standing. That was the first point, that we should not fill our bellies to the full. Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah alayhi, when he was imprisoned in Malta, it is famous regarding him that he wrote many points with regards to the degeneration and the result of the Muslim Ummah coming down. One of the points he mentioned is that we have become so accustomed to filling our belly that it's become a norm. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to eat for one day and used to not eat for one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The sixth point that we should concentrate on is that of niyyah. and we should ensure that Allah, that we make our niyyah during, before fasting, while fasting, and after fasting, we should make istighfar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have fasted for your pleasure, and you are the reward for our fasting. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I recited in the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will give the reward to the one who is fasting. The reward for fasting will not be attained. If you look at fasting, there is no reward for us in this world. There is no benefit. What is the benefit for us in this world to staying hungry? There is no benefit. However, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that reward of fasting himself. Some say the reward will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and some say the reward will be entering through that door of Jannah which is called Ar-Rayyan, and that door which is specifically for those who fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out before the reckoning starts, where are those who fasted for my pleasure? They will enter in through that door of Rayyan, and through that door of Jannah without any reckoning. That was the 6 points that we mentioned. One was that of the ears, the eyes, the tongue, not filling our belly to the full, the niyyah. Another point which our mashayikh mentioned, and which is mentioned in this book which I mentioned about the conquest that took place during the month of Ramadan, is that of laziness. Many a time, before a person, for example, before a person starts a marathon and starts a race, he might start there after a few kilometers into the race, he will be tired and he will be unable to finish the race. Many of us, we start Ramadan with a bang. As they say, they start Ramadan with a bang. And halfway through Ramadan, in Urdu they say, har josh ke liye ek, har josh ke liye ek hosh ke. For every enthusiasm, there is one downfall. A person will stop halfway through. So we should do, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned in the famous hadith of Bukhari, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those actions which are little but continuous. Those actions which are little but continuous. It should not be that one day we recite 5 paras of the Quran, and the next day we recite no Quran. And one day we recite 100,000 Durood Sharif, and the next day we recite no Durood Sharif. It should be that we should have consistency. If from the start of Ramadan, if we recited 6 pages of the Quran, 6 pages of the Quran, after every salah, we would have completed our khatam of Quran by the 30th of Ramadan. However, there are many who recite a lot during the first few days, and thereafter they forget about it and they stop reciting. Why? Because they get involved in many other aspects of life. It's the reality of life. A person has a business to look after, a person has a family to look after. Thereafter he starts Ramadan with a bang, and thereafter he forgets about it. In the last 10 days he starts again, and then the pressure is on us to complete our khatam of the Quran, to complete this, to complete that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make our fast into what is a fast, and so that through thus we will attain taqwa, and through thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the Muslim Ummah and many others, many more conquests, just like how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Sahaba and the Tabi'in the conquest of many cities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us.
Allah
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا أيها الناس أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم وقال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما معنى الحديث أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حيان عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم فخير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم تقبل منا قيامنا وصيامنا في شهر المبارك في شهر رمضان اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والنية والهدي إنك على كل شيء قدير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون Inshallah, self-sustained. I'm going to make space for those who are still coming in.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح إلى قامة الصلاة إلى قامة الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إنها في الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت
وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس ونعوذ بالله من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أعتق رقبتنا ورقبة آبائنا وأهلينا من النار اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم جزا الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلم